Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, it's hour three, Felger Maz, and an agenda-free Friday. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe coming up. Your phones. In the meantime, as promised, Joe and Peabody, lead us off this hour on Rob Gronkowski. What do you got, Joe?
Hey, what's up, Mike? Good to talk to you guys. So just whenever you guys play that clip you played, that really shows the realness of Gronk, and it just makes me miss him even more every time you play it. I think he could really be successful if he just was himself. First thing I wanted to say, and I got a question for you guys. Are you bought in on Irving and Durant meeting up at Knicks?
Okay, so apparently Bill Simmons today, I was just looking at the monitor during the break, Bill Simmons on Francesa's show said today that he'd be stunned if Durant didn't end up in New York, and if he were betting, it'd be Kyrie and Durant in New York. So I know a lot of you worship at the opera altar of Bill Simmons. He does have info. I mean, he does.
Well, I mean, Jimmy said that Durant bought property in New York ages ago, right?
If you listen to Felger Maz, Stewart has been on this for weeks, months, for a long time. Months ago, he told us that Kyrie and Durant bought condos together in New York. So it would not surprise me. I mean, why should anyone be surprised to think that Kyrie is going to leave? Do you think he's happy and fulfilled here? What indication has he given you? Since, you know, I think from the beginning of this year, really, well, but
the line of demarcation should be the Super Bowl.
The week. Friday of Super Bowl week. From that day forward, have you gotten any whiff, one half of one whiff from one nostril, that Kyrie is happy, fulfilled, or interested in being here?
No.
None. No. Zero. So, again, I understand he's mercurial, but if I'm just to look at, God, I hate that word because that lets him off the hook.
Moody.
I know he's a moody.
Okay, we'll use moody.
Right, moody baby. But the writing feels like it's on the wall. It really does.
I mean, to me, that when that video came out of him and Durant at the All-Star game,
it's the happiest he's been in the last 6 months.
Boy, Kyrie got pretty defensive about that, didn't he? That video in the tunnel.
that too, yeah.
So just think about it. Like, if the video is nothing, and Kyrie, if he was going to stay here, wouldn't you just kind of laugh it off and go, boy, you guys are unbelievable.
Of course.
Guys, I'm staying. I'm staying. Okay? You need to hear it. Okay, I'll tell you. I'm staying. But have your fun. It's okay. It's a nice story for you guys. I get it, but I'm staying in Boston.
Instead, it was, what, you believe everything on the internet? The internet's not real, man.
I mean, he did. He got so defensive. Like, you can't help but think that there's something to it.
Joe in Arizona, go.
Yeah, fellas. It's been a while.
Joe on the bus in Arizona. They have buses in Arizona. I wouldn't have thought that.
I'm on a long trip here, guys. But listen, you guys were talking earlier about Jason Tatum. And just recall last year what the narrative was around him. He's, you know, top of the league, towards the top of the league in three-point percentage, dunking on LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals. People are sitting back and saying, this guy could be the next Kevin Durant. This guy could be the next Paul Pierce. What if he's the next Carmelo Anthony?
So that you're not the first person to say that. Sort of a vacuum. Ball goes to him. It goes nowhere else. He's a brilliant scorer, but what else does he do? That's what I asked earlier. You know, what else does Tatum bring to the table?
Not right now, he's just a scorer. And that's what he was last year, too. And you just said, well, he's young. You know, that's all they really ask him to do. Shoot the three when it's there. And he was a little bit more of a role player. Now, he's a little bit more of a centerpiece player or acts like one, but he doesn't make anybody better. The rebounding has gotten a little bit better. That's it.
He doesn't defend. I don't notice him as a passer. And he's a really nice offensive player, but even there he's taken kind of a step back, and that's sort of literal that he feels he's way too in love with the step back?
Totally. I mean, if you were to say right now, like, what is he? Shooter, scorer, blah, blah, blah.
Shooter.
I'd say scorer, but that's not that far apart. You know, the one difference is that a scorer will go to the basket, right? Like, okay, he can score. What else?
John in New Bedford on Greg Schiano. Go ahead, John.
Gentlemen, a friend of mine is a GA or was a GA at Ohio State. It's not only Schiano, but Urban Meyer. There is something going to come down the pipe that's not going to be very, not going to paint a very good picture of the Ohio State football program. So my guess is that, again, Urban Meyer's sicknesses always pop up when he's either harboring murderers or having kids sell their paraphernalia.
Yeah.
And Schiano's also not going to be painted very well in this.
Okay, John. Something like that. I have no idea.
I mean, I believe that.
I'm not taking his word for it. I'm just telling you it's odd to just step away like that.
I mean, when you weigh it all out, again, Meyer walking away was surprising. So I didn't even think about that until now. It's a good point.
Yeah, getting out ahead of it.
Totally right.
Rob in South Boston wants to give us a scouting report on Maurice Harris. Who's Maurice Harris, you ask? Because I had to ask that when I saw it on the call screen. Maurice Harris signing. Huh? Oh, that's the receiver they got from the Redskins. Rob in South Boston, go ahead.
Hey, guys, what's up? Yeah, I'm a Redskins fan, unfortunately. But this guy's been bailing out our quarterbacks for like the past 3 years. He's got great hands. He's got a great receiver, always knows the playbook and everything. Our front office is just stupid for letting him go. So,
so you like him?
Those guys is going to step in, and you're going to be hearing his name a lot over the next couple of years. So you guys got to steal. I wouldn't worry about your wide receiver depth chart.
Okay, babe. Ringing endorsement for Maurice Harris.
I'm going to have to look up some video of Maurice.
Looking at some of the PFF numbers, and this is why, because Gasper said he might fit too. He's just not fast is the problem, but listed at 6'3", had one drop on 29 catchable targets last year, top 20 in terms of drop rate among receivers with at least 40 targets. That's according to Pro Football Focus.
Hey, I don't mind. I don't need blazing speed. You get open, catch the ball. Fine with me. I don't care.
Come back to the ball, have hands.
Yes, you bet. I'm happy to. I don't know the player. I'm happy. It'd be great if he works. No problem. I don't love his chances, but fine.
At least he has both hamstrings, unlike Bruce Ellington.
Correct. And he's also 5'4".
Yeah, but also means he can pull both.
Jared in Franklin. I'm Rob Gronkowski. Hi, Jared.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Grab your tinfoil hat to have a Gronk conspiracy theory.
Love it.
I think he wants to play, or maybe he's undecided, but leaning towards playing. But either way, they know he wants more money. They know he wants to skip the offseason stuff. They say, hey, go retire, go do your thing, heal up, and they can figure out the cap situation in the spring or in the fall when they can rework Brady's contract.
Okay,
screw him over. They can't work on it until the fall, so that's what they're going to do, and maybe he comes back in September or something like that.
So the team is in on the team is in on the decision, is what Jared is saying. Do you get that sense, Mass?
No, I mean Belichick's not. So the team maybe. Like, again, if the Crafts are okay with it and Brady's okay with it, then they're going to get their way. I can't possibly ever come to believe that Bill Belichick would sit down with a player who says, listen, I don't want to do all the work. So how about I just show up like right before Thanksgiving? Bill says, great idea.
I know, right? And actually, Rob, you just tell me when you're ready and we're going to put everything to the side. And just
we'll work around your schedule.
Yeah, no problem. I'm happy to do that.
In fact, if we do, now that I think of it, Rob, if we do November 15th and we pay you the same amount of money, you'll get what you want. We get what we want.
We're all concerned about making everybody happy.
Yeah. Oh, because that's what Billy's the kind of guy that wants to make everybody happy. Like, I just cannot possibly come to accept that.
I'm with you. Michael in Fort Myers on this very topic. Go ahead, Michael.
Hello. I was thinking that last year Belichick wanted to trade Gronkowski, and now everybody seems it's a big surprise that he wants to retire.
I think you're not exactly landing the plane, but I get your point that the die was cast last year. They had one foot out the door last year.
Well, so to me, that's the thing again. And you say, well, he said this, he said that. Forget what they say. Just look at the facts and talk about what they do. Gronk acted like an a-hole last offseason. So Bill tried to trade him. That's it. I'm done. That's Bill saying, I'm done. I'm done with Gronk. It's over. We'll move on. We got a decent return for him. We got a good return for him if it was a first from Detroit. See you later, Gronk. Thank you, but I'm done. And he got overruled. There's no other way. The trade doesn't go down.
Rob admitted it after that Detroit game in week two.
So the only way the trade gets stopped is if Robert steps in and says no.
And that was right around the time that Schefter reported that Brady was having second thoughts about playing or hadn't committed to playing because Brady pitched a little fit.
Exactly. So what happened was Bill was done and wanted to move on, and he got trumped. He got overruled.
Let me ask you this. Like Garoppolo, is this another one that Bill got right? In other words,
yes.
Last year you could have gotten a first-round pick for Rob Gronkowski. Now he's gone, and you got nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was Bill getting overruled wrong again like Garoppolo, Murray?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the one thing.
you don't see what I did there.
Yeah, I got you.
No, they could have gotten more for Garoppolo. They should have
hung on
to Garoppolo.
Okay, fine. There's your middle ground.
Yes. But if you don't have Gronk, you don't win the Super Bowl,
well,
right?
So I was just going to say that.
I'm facilitating here.
I think you can justify Gronk, you know, more than Garoppolo.
Do you win the Super Bowl last year without Gronkowski?
Absolutely not.
Probably not.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he made some big plays in the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, but
remember, his blocking mostly when they were running the ball was insanely good.
Okay, yeah. Remember, everybody sucks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Everybody sucks.
Right.
I mean, if Gronkowski had been traded last year and got a first-round pick, does that mean Andy Reid suddenly figures out the clock?
No. And they did it before without him against the Falcons a few years back.
I mean, again, as usual, I'm just facilitating here. I'm not going to answer this question. I'm just going to ask it.
I mean, the pass that got the ball down by the goal line was Gronk.
Here's what I will say. There's a case to be made, Jimmy.
Thank you.
That Bill got it right, and they're worse off by keeping Gronkowski for that. If you could have gotten a first-round pick for him,
I think there's a case to be made that Bill got it right on Garoppolo and Robert got it right on Gronk. But they definitely didn't get it right on Garoppolo, I'll tell you that.
The joy for all Patriots fans would be they trade that first down and they get 2/3 and maybe a conditional second for 2021.
No question. That they then flip.
And then they parlay that into 3/4 for 2021.
And the gunner from Navy. Luke in Vermont, we have called tonight's Celtics game Custer's last stand. How do you feel about that?
Gunner talk.
I just think it's really important for Indiana, which will tell us something about Boston, because Indiana is going to go hard. And if Indiana is in tonight and pushes you around, I think it shows that more likely than not, they will beat you in the first round.
Agreed. Your phone's not good enough to continue. But basically, I look at there's only one way to go here, and that is if the Celts lose tonight, then nail in the coffin. I have zero. If I have 2% of faith in you now, it goes to zero, and that's it. It's over. You suck. You're gutless bums. It's over. You've quit. If they win, it's just like, no, the 2% remains. The door is still ajar. Slight chance. You live to see another day. You don't win anything. You don't win over. You don't gain. But if you lose tonight, then you're done.
I can tell you that this much hasn't changed for me. That if and when they play Indiana, regardless of what happens tonight, because they're playing Indiana, I still hope they lose in the first round. That, well, I can tell you.
So then you hope they lose tonight, basically.
Well, that would increase the chances that they lose in the first round. So I would say yes. Tonight I'm wearing a Pacers jersey. Now that you mention it, yes.
Love it.
Can I get one here Amazon delivery before the end of the night?
Coming up next, Gasper has arrived, and he has a hair across his ass for something. We'll tell you exactly what that is right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Mad.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the app. afternoon. Felger and Mads. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, it's hour three, Felger Mazz, an agenda-free Friday. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe coming up. Your phones. In the meantime, as promised, Joe and Peabody lead us off this hour on Rob Gronkowski. What do you got, Joe?
Hey, what's up, Mike? Good to talk to you guys. So just whenever you guys play that clip you played, that really shows the realness of Gronk, and it just makes me miss him even more every time you play it. I think he could really be successful if he just was himself. First thing I wanted to say, and I got a question for you guys. Are you bought in on Irving and Durant meeting up at Knicks?
Okay, so apparently Bill Simmons today. I was just looking at the monitor during the break.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mads.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sheffy, big decision from the NFL yesterday. What has been the reaction you are hearing?
Well, first of all, Greeny, was a huge upset because I think a lot of people on the competition committee and in ownership were not expecting this. But this is what happened. The coaches got their way. And the coaches, when it comes to rule changes, don't usually get their way. But in the last 48 hours, they flipped the thinking of the NFL. They got the rule passed 31-1, and it will have massive ramifications on how we watch the game this year for the first time ever. Pass interference, offensive and defensive, and non-calls will now be subject to review. And obviously, we go back to the NFC Championship game that spawned all this discussion, that brought us here to Arizona, that led us to the new rule that was passed late last night.
Again, agenda-free Friday, everything from the weekend replay is definitely something we got to during the week as the owners haphazardly, as it turns out, rushed through a massive sea change in replay in the NFL where pass interference is now on the board and reviewable. And it is treated exactly the same as any of those other reviewable plays, meaning coaches' challenges and booth reviews, which means ostensibly every pass play within the final 2 minutes of every half goes upstairs, which I think is patently ridiculous. Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe joins us. That was my big thing about replay. You got a thing about replay too, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I just, look, I don't like the rule. I think there's a lot of unintended consequences. But my bigger issue here is the fact that they haphazardly ram this thing through. And why did that happen? To appease one coach who happens to be on the competition committee, Sean Payton, because it happened to him. And you know what? If Drew Brees doesn't throw that terrible interception in overtime, is this even a proposal from the Saints? Do they even follow up on it? Borderline. Like, if they don't feel like they've been wrong,
right.
This is not a competition committee. It's a sore losers committee. Anytime you lose in a way you don't like, whether you're, you know, Andy Reid of the Chiefs, and he's not actually on the competition committee, but he can throw a proposal out to them that they'll consider. And Peyton is on it. His team lost. His quarterback threw a ghastly interception in overtime. But no, it was all about, you know, Roby Coleman and that penalty, which it was a penalty, by the way. But you want to fix that. Who cares how it affects the game moving forward? Who cares how it affects the integrity of the game? I'm just going to make sure that my team never gets screwed like that again. And that's the whole thing. And you look at the history of these rules or points of emphasis that get passed, they're all self-serving. Every single time it's some team that feels like they were wrong. Go back to Bill Polian. Exactly. 2003 AFC Championship game. He feels like the Patriots are able to rough up his receivers. They turn Marvin Harrison into a ghost. They pick off Peyton Manning four times. He's on the competition committee. Suddenly there's a re-emphasis, new emphasis on illegal contact and defensive holding. All these things are self-serving to me. And that's, to me, you can't run a league like that. Like, everybody has their gripe. So we're going to go and bring this to the competition committee, and we're going to bring it to everybody, and we're going to twist the owner's arms, and we're going to pass these rules without really thinking them through, without really making sure that we have a proposal. We just need to make sure we get something passed, you know, before Spalding has to hop on his private jet and get out of Arizona.
Attaboy.
I mean, that's really what happened.
Yes, no question.
I mean, they could have tabled it until the spring meeting. They didn't even do that.
They drew it up that day.
On the fly.
They had all these proposals ready to go that were being shot down, so they wrote a new one.
Yeah, they were editing on the fly.
Oh, and as Volin laid out, is what you're referring to, is that just they wanted to get out of there. They were done with everything else.
They always do.
They want to get out of there on Tuesday night.
Yep.
Nope, they totally edited it on the fly. And speaking as a newspaper person, not that there's anything wrong with that. but in this case, really, I mean, that Volin column yesterday was eye-opening. Like, you got to be kidding me. You guys hustled this thing through without even saying, well, what will happen if... If I'm a coach, Chris, I'm throwing all of my challenges now on PI.
Oh, totally.
You get a 50-50 shot. Why would I give a rat's ass where the nose of the ball should be spotted? I'd rather go for the 25-yard gain down the field on 3rd and 14. I got a shot on that one because on 3rd and 14, my percentage is 20. But if it's a PI call, 50-50, I'll take my chances. It blows me away.
Especially with Riveron, right? If there is no flag, you know he's going to say there is. Alberto, reverse them all, Riveron. Whatever the refs on the field do, he's going to do the opposite. So I particularly would throw my flag, my challenge flag, when I don't get the call.
Of course.
Because if I then throw, or if, you know, if I'm on defense and the other team scores a touchdown with one of these pick plays, which those plays are ubiquitous in the NFL, the Patriots run a ton of them, every team does. If I'm on defense and I realize they didn't call that pick, wait, Riveron's back in New York? Here comes the flag. He's going to be like, yeah, that's a pick.
But
take the touchdown off the board.
Worst part is that it's automatically reviewable. You don't have to throw the flag. And so on any scoring play, we now have to wait for the guy upstairs, not just to see, did he control the ball? Is he inbounds? Did he cross the plane? Now he's got to look across the five eligible receivers, if he's doing his job,
yeah,
and see, was there a pick? Was there a push-off here?
He's going to conduct a film study up there.
Honestly, I mean, that's what the rule states. I don't know if
that's... No, you're right. That is true. So let me take the example I used. It's a huge third down.
Third and four.
So third and four, something like
that.
Okay,
but it's also got to be with 3 minutes left, because if it's with 2 minutes left, that automatically goes upstairs now, too.
I know.
So you know how much replay you're looking at there?
It's ridiculous.
How many things to look at, and there's still only one guy making these calls? How's that possible?
Add up.
There's five eligible receivers. Offensive PI can now be created. You can put the flag on the field on offensive PI inside of 2 minutes. That's the booth's responsibility. They have to look at every pass play inside of 2 minutes and look across the field to see if there's OPI, if they're doing their jobs. That's just insane.
Right, because if the ball ends up going to the second option on the play, well, the first one got interfered with. That's why. I guess that would be defensive holding.
Defensive, but whatever.
But offensive PI.
But to the point you guys are raising, so what if there is some sort of penalty, pass interference, offensive or defensive, that's away from the ball, that has nothing to do with the actual play?
So we looked this up. Defensive pass interference can only be, it's got to be a catchable ball, right? So that's only on the intended receiver. That's easy.
But the offensive PI gets complicated.
OPI can be anywhere across the field.
See?
So that's what I've just been saying. If there's a little swing pass to Julian Edelman on the left, all alone, walks in for a touchdown, you've got to now look all the way across the field to the right and see if someone on the right side pushed off. If you're doing your job, and then put the flag on the field for OPI.
Oh, the possibilities are endless.
Oh, and we spent a whole day going over them. I mean, it's absurd. It's absurd. But the thing with the competition committee is true, too. Do you think the Patriots are immune from that sort of thing?
Oh, no. God, no. And in the email I sent you, I mean, Bill's guilty of it, too. I mean, why do you think he wants the cameras on the goal line? Because he thinks it will help the integrity of the game? No, it's the Champ Bailey play.
Fourth and two. Or Champ Bailey. Exactly.
Yes,
better.
It's Champ Bailey. That's why he wants cameras down there.
That's right.
Do you know, guess which team had the proposal that made the goalpost extend from 30 to 35 feet?
Patriots.
That would be the Patriots, because the Ravens.
Justin Tucker.
The Ravens game. Yep, with a replacement ref. You know, who knows if it was right or wrong.
And Bill grabbed him running off the field.
Good job, Gasper.
And I won't get into this one because it's super complicated.
No, let's get into it.
But just remember that.
Crybaby Patriots.
The 2013 AFC Championship game, the final score was 26-16. And
in Denver?
In Denver.
Denver game, yeah.
Matt Prater, who was the kicker for the Broncos, had a great day. He made a 54-yard field goal, but he also made two extra points. So at the end of the game, the Patriots scored. You know, Brady gets in and he runs. So they're down 26-16. They go for two and they don't get it. Well, what if he had missed one of those extra points? What if the game's now 25-16? Don't I just kick the extra point,
okay,
right? My guy makes it, assuming. Because when Bill drew up the rule, his guy never missed extra points. So now it's 25-17. It's a one-score game.
So I don't get it, though. Did the Patriots propose the longer field goal?
The extra point is Bill's. He's the one that came up with the extended extra point. You don't remember that? He proposed it. They changed the rule. And then in the 2015 AFC Championship game,
his guy misses.
Yeah. Yeah, his guy misses.
So I don't even remember that being the Patriots' proposal.
Yeah.
The long extra point was
theirs. The long extra point was Bill. He said he wanted to make it a more competitive play.
I like it.
They moved it back.
I like that move.
Because Matt Prater bit him in the ass.
I'll use it.
Because Prater made those two easy extra points, and at the end, they had to try and go for two and all these things that they had to do to try and go. If he just misses one of them, it's a much easier path.
Yeah, then he changes it and makes it harder on Gostkowski.
Yeah, so you want to make the play more, competitive.
So, now that I think of it. The first two
are better, though. The extended goalposts and the goal line camera was absolutely the Champ Bailey play. They're convinced that should have been a touchback, that they got it before the goal, blah, 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 blah. That's absolutely true.
But now that I think of it, though, they missed an opportunity. Last year, they should have put in a rule that you should be able to challenge a play if your defense sucks in the Super Bowl. How about that one? That's what you...
I'm not looking at the Patriots and singling them out. My point is, though, the majority of these proposals are self-serving.
Right.
They have nothing to do with the best interest of the NFL. It just is, I was wronged, and I want vengeance in the rule book. And I just don't think you can run a league like that. I think that's a terrible way to come
it's
up
true.
With a rule book.
It is. It's true.
There's no question.
I mean, that goes all the way back to the Polian thing. It does, and even further, really.
Well, this Chiefs overtime proposal, I know some people like it, some people don't. It's been tabled. They're going to review it in the spring. But again, if they win the toss and Mahomes scores, are they proposing this?
No, we are. The Patriots are.
Yeah, Bill is. Yeah, that's right.
but that's the whole theme of the whole thing. It's true. It's the sore losers committee. I like that, Gasper. Okay, there's his take. To your calls with Gasper after Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help MA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Okay, we've got Gasper in studio. Everything on the table here on an agenda-free Friday. Bill in Framingham on the Patriots. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, guys. I think Bill Belichick would be thrilled if Gronkowski never came back. There's three tight ends that are potential first-round picks, and if they could grab one of them, they're younger, they're healthy, they'd be a lot cheaper, and they'd listen to everything Belichick would say, they'd show up to spring camp, they'd be under his thumb.
Okay, what if they sucked?
Right, exactly. Yeah, what if you don't get one?
What if they're Daniel Graham, who didn't suck, but, I mean, there's certainly no Rob Gronkowski.
These guys are number one picks. They're all
so is Daniel Graham.
Oh, in the first round.
So is Benjamin Watson.
So you're picking one guy.
I gave you Benjamin Watson. That's two tight ends they drafted in the first round that were nowhere near Gronk.
Okay, I'm not saying that Gronk. I'm just saying Gronk's near the end.
Well, but
these
Bill,
guys are just starting.
Okay,
they're cheaper. You know what I'm saying?
See, I don't think they're related.
But hold on. So Bill, you said Bill would be thrilled, and thanks for the call, Bill. Bill would be thrilled if that Gronkowski's gone. That's sort of dumb. I don't think he's thrilled that the greatest tight end to ever play retired. But
part of him is, Mike.
I was going to say, in some respect, is he okay turning the page here?
Yes, part of him is, absolutely. This guy was a pain in the ass at the end for him now. Okay, we all love Gronk. But for Bill, Gronk, are you practicing this week or you're not practicing this week? We get a game on Sunday. You're good to go? Are you 100%? Are you going or you're not going? Yes or no? And then that interview that he did, who was it? What's her name? Jamie Erdahl? Was it Jamie Erdahl? When he did the one coming back from the locker room and she says, well, how do you adjust without Gronkowski?
Oh, yeah, he says we're used to it.
And we're used to it.
Yeah.
Like, so Bill got tired of it. I don't think there's any question about that. He tried to trade the guy last year.
What do you think, Gasper?
I disagree. Let me rephrase. He traded the guy last year when it got vetoed. Yeah. Not tried to. He had him traded.
But I look at that more as his sort of, you know, Bill has an uncanny ability to know when somebody has declined before we can actually see it. I think it was more about the physical decline he had seen than it was, I'm tired of this guy's act. Because there's one thing about Bill, he'll put up with almost anything if the guy's talented enough. Like, why do you think you're hearing their name connected to Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham Jr.? You know, he'll put up with antics. I mean, they acquired Josh Gordon for goodness
Moss
sake.
And Corey
yeah,
Dillon.
He'll put up with almost anything as long as the guy produces. You know, but I think this was more about at what point are you no longer worth it because you're not the same guy. And yeah. I think he's like, you're no longer worth it. You're not the same guy.
So that's fair. There's a give and take. There's a balance, right? And if your pain in the assness outweighs your value on the field, you're gone. And with Gronk, the pain in the assness got a little high the last couple of years.
Sean in Marlboro on the replay. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, so you guys have a golden rule on the show that you don't yell at someone for something they haven't done yet. And you're yelling at the NFL that this rule change is going to be terrible.
It's true. I am.
But the NFL had a golden rule that we're not going to put a flag on the field that, you know, wasn't on the field. And they've thrown that out. So I think we're okay.
Well, the thing that comes to mind is a couple of years ago, Felger, you were all rah, 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 the NFL blow the rule change. Well, remember when they did the pass interference and the illegal hands to the face? It had the potential to just ruin the game because it was already regulated a little too much. But then, you know, you add these two rules, and I actually thought that the hands to the face one was going to be the worst one, but. You thought that
No, you got it wrong. I didn't do the thing on that. I didn't care about that. I thought the new catch rule was going to kill him. I hated the new catch rule, meaning last year. I liked the survive the ground. I liked the way it was black and white. There was no gray area. And I thought that when they went back to a less restrictive rule on the catch, that it would open up all this interpretation to be a disaster. And I was wrong about that. That's what I was wrong about. In hindsight, what I missed was that the new catch rule led to less replay, not more, because it was a broader interpretation of a catch. It, you know, for lack of a better term, if it looks like a catch, we're just going to call it a catch. I mean, that's in layman's terms what they sort of did with that rule, which meant less replay, not more. That's why it worked. And I should have realized it at the time. Less is more with replay. The more replay you get, the worse it gets. And this is true with all sports. These college basketball games, these basketball replays are getting dumber by the day. Guy goes up for a layup with his knee up, and now we're looking to see, did he intentionally knee the guy?
It was a flagrant.
Oh, my God.
And all the players know, so they make the signal. Everybody's in.
Anytime the ball's out of – the guy could basically volleyball spike the ball out of bounds. Oh, wait a minute. We got to go upstairs. I mean, it's just – it's gotten stupid. Hockey, when they did the offsides thing, I mean, we all know how that went. Less is more. This pass interference is going to be more, and it's going to suck.
I mean, that hockey thing, tacking the penalty on there if you challenge offside.
Led to less.
Oh, was that great? What a great move that was. I hated that stupid-ass offside rule. I hated it. So now it's like there's a penalty for it.
My point with the interference, Chris, is that yes. The only way it's going to work is if the league uses common sense, which they might.
Yeah.
You know, Riveron will say, look, I'm not going to look at OPI across the field on every play. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
But then the fans, I think, won't be able to handle it because the fans, again, the Hurley birds of the world, Michael Hurley.
Well, Hurley's definitely going to watch the All 22. He'll be looking for it.
He's going to watch the All 22.
Oh, totally.
He's going to screen grab the time.
Yes.
Edelman was, that the opponent's receiver pushed off away from the ball.
Yep. Circling players.
Circle, spot shadow.
Yep.
Blow it up.
Got that Apple pencil. Yep.
And then, you know, say, where was Riveron? He's supposed to throw the flag from the booth. The league's out to get us. Clate Sneakman. Don't you get it? Clate Sneakman, whatever. And so the fans won't be able to handle it.
Yeah, so I have two thoughts on this. One of my concerns with this replay now, just the stuff you're talking about, is this going to become as like baseball when the unintended consequence of this guy stole a second, but his finger came off the bag for a millisecond, so now he's out. Because that really just pisses me off. I think that's absurd, and I think it's a perversion of replay and why it's in there. And I'm worried about that with some of these penalties. It's going to be like that. The other thing I think of is What's the last rule the NFL had where guys showed up at the owners' meetings and they're like, I got to get on my private plane and get out of here. Let's ram this through. That lowering the helmet rule, that was a disaster. And they basically had to abandon it in the middle of the year.
So this wasn't the first time this has happened, you're saying?
No.
I mean, Tuesday night's always a rush job?
Not always, but last year, I'm sure you guys remember this. I know Murray would. They waited until the coaches were like out on their outing.
The golf tournament,
and the owners voted in this lowering the helmet thing. And it was a complete disaster in the preseason, the start of the season. Remember, like, the Clay Matthews hit against the Redskins? And they basically, you know, without formally saying they were doing away with it, they basically, you know, did away with it and basically told the officials to stop calling it. That's the last time they ran one of these things through really quick without thinking about it. And it was just an abject disaster.
We've got Paul in the car with a Celtics thought for Gasper. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, you know, Kyrie, he is the most fickle man I can recall.
Mercurial.
Being on this team. I mean, last year he was praising Brad up and down, greatest coach, knows me so well, does everything. Now he takes these veiled shots at him after every game. He can't be your leader. I mean, he wants to go to New York. Good luck, pal.
Okay.
He'll eat you alive in the media.
Okay, couple of things here, Gasper. One, does Kyrie have a problem with Stevens? Two, Bill Simmons was on with Francesa today in New York, saying he's got Durant in New York, he'd be stunned. And I can't remember exactly how he said it. This is a paraphrase. Stunned if Durant wasn't in New York, and if I'm betting, Kyrie's with him. So that's what Simmons said.
That sounds about right.
Okay. Yeah. You've been on that for a while.
Yeah, that
and
sounds
so
good.
Is Stu.
I mean, Stu, I think, was on it before anybody, including Bill Simmons. But the Durant thing, two words. Okay. Done deal.
Okay, what about Kyrie Stevens?
Yeah, when you look at that, I mean, I think it's a little bit of Kyrie lashing out and looking for people to blame because the season hasn't gone the way that he expected. And I think that he's gotten a lot of blowback for blaming the young guys. So where can I direct this ire now? Well, how about the coach? You know, because he's never really coached anybody like me, right?
Oh, God.
So right? He's just predisposed to bitch.
Kind of. I mean, that's sort of how it feels. I mean, I think he's in a high-pressure situation.
It's a default setting.
Yeah. Things aren't going the way that... And the one thing, again, I don't know the guy personally, but the one thing that I see, he's a very bright guy on and off the court. But and we had this with Rondo a little bit, too, when Rondo was coached by Doug. Sometimes guys like that feel like they always have the answer. Like, they're always the smartest guy in the room. And there's a little bit of that, I think, with him, where he's like, well, we should have doubled Kemba, obviously. Like,
no.
What, you know, I mean, what, you know what? Instead of looking at it and saying, okay, I think we all could have played better one-on-one defense and maybe gotten some more out of these possessions. But it's just easy to say, well, if I were the coach, I would have doubled this guy because we lost.
You understand? Sorry. The guy who acts like, this is where I disagree with you. The guy who acts like the smartest guy in the room isn't smart. He's never smart. You know what the three smartest words in the English language are, Chris? I don't know.
That's true.
Don't know.
Then I'm brilliant.
Well, sometimes you go the other way.
Chris, my closing thought was that you do him a favor every time you call him Mercurial. Because that's it. The sound of the word.
Yeah.
The phonetics of the world.
It's great.
No.
Yeah.
How can we? No.
Mercurial.
You know what's better?
What?
Just being a dick. You know, but when you say Mercurial, it's like...
It's a mom making an excuse for a pain-in-the-ass kid.
You don't
understand little Tommy. He's
right,
mercurial.
Yeah,
he's sensitive.
It's like calling someone an iconoclast.
Yeah.
Which is another way of saying he's an a-hole.
No, that's not true. I called Thomas Dimitroff one, and he was very flattered by that compliment I gave.
I know, right, because it's a flattering-sounding word. Because
he's an a-hole.
But Thomas is the furthest thing from that.
I'm kidding. I'm joking. I met him, too. I like the guy. I prefer the word temperamental.
Moody. Bitchy. You're being a jerk.
Pedro was temperamental.
Mercurial.
See, now I'm like confused. Are you guys talking about the Celtics or are you talking about the machinations and mechanics of this show? Because it's a little tough for me to decide.
Probably a little both.
What's going on here?
Coming up next, our long commercial-free segment. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final 15 seconds. Outlet pass picked off by Marcus Smart. A truly poetic way to end this one. Marcus Smart, brilliant on both ends of the floor in the second half as the Celtics, never easy, but they get it done and score a double-digit win tonight in Cleveland. To snap the losing streak. The final score, Boston 116, Cleveland 106.
Gasper, is the door still ajar on the Celtics? Meaning they still have a chance?
Yeah, they still have a chance. I mean, you know, look, I wrote the column comparing them to the 2011 Red Sox, and even I said at the end of the column, I mean, they can change the ending. They're going to be in the playoffs. Here's the thing. In this town, all that matters is the postseason. So the Celtics regular season, it's a disappointment. It doesn't matter what they do from here on out. They underachieved. It's disappointing. That's a fact. Now, if they go into the postseason and play really well, it will still be a fact, but it will be a less relevant fact. Everybody will forget about it.
You bet.
But the reality is the regular season, the one that they were so excited about. I mean, what's interesting to me about the Celtics is that before the season, they embraced the expectations. They were so excited about the whole season, including the regular season. And then once it sort of flipped to a situation where, like, they weren't going to meet the regular season expectations, it was like, oh, the regular season means nothing. It's all about the postseason. These games are meaningless. So would it be the same if they were on pace to break a record I know you think is irrelevant, the Warriors' regular season record for wins? But do you think the Celtics and their fans would be telling you that
yes,
the regular season is irrelevant?
Of course they would not be doing that.
No, it would be you're not giving them enough credit. This is one of the greatest teams of all time. But because their regular season has been a gross underachievement, it's suddenly like, oh, you know, we'll see you in April, May for the playoffs.
See, the other thing is I think Kyrie's in La La Land. First of all, the regular season win total had gone up 4 years in a row.
Every year with Stevens.
Now they have their best team. And it's going the other way?
It plummets.
They're not going to win 50.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two, this whole thing about Kyrie saying the regular season doesn't matter. Oh, you jackass. It makes all the difference in the world when you're in a conference where the teams are reasonably close and home court's going to decide it. Like, the fact that he has been in the league as long as he has.
Well, could it be warped just by his experience with LeBron?
Yes.
LeBron did not. It didn't matter. Home court didn't matter.
No, it didn't. But again, but the East was also weak. Okay, so LeBron got away with it. But I would also say that the East was weak during those years. So overall, I mean, the 07-08 Celtics, when they won it, you know what the first thing they wanted to do was? Get home court throughout the playoffs. And that team had Garnett, Pierce, Allen, veteran guys. Now, granted, none of them had won, but they all understood the challenge of the league. They understood it and what was important. If Kyrie doesn't see that that's important, he's in la-la land. That's a problem.
Okay, we continue with phones with Gasper Kirk in the Berkshires on the Patriots. Hi, Kirk.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was wondering. I think Gronk waited too long to make his decision, whether it was advertent or inadvertent, and I think he already knew what he was going to do all along. So I agree with Maz that he might have, you know, messed the Patriots up by taking too long. What do you guys think?
Oh, I think he definitely, you know, put a little fly in the ointment there. If they just had, they had no money to spend. If he had made the decision earlier, they might have had some money to spend and they'd have a player. I just blame the team a little bit, Chris, that they should have put the ultimatum to him 2 weeks before free agency. So they knew, you know, they sort of set themselves up for that. And I Bill just should have been on him earlier. We need a decision right now, Rob.
It wasn't Bill. Bill wanted to trade him.
So Bill is already done.
Bill traded him last year.
Okay, no, but now this year.
Okay, but my point is if Bill had given him an ultimatum, Don't you think he get trumped again?
Meaning?
The quarterback says, no, wait it out.
You just run up the back stairs, you know, and hey, you know, I'm getting this ultimatum from Bill. I haven't made my decision yet, Jonathan and Robert. What do you think?
Yeah, or Tom says it for him to Jonathan and Robert.
I'm with you. I believe that's going on there.
So all I'm saying is this. Like, I'm not trying.
So you're saying Bill's ultimatum is hollow?
Yeah, I'm not trying to let Bill off the hook. Believe me, not by any stretch of the imagination. But I don't think it's Bill got his legs cut off from under. Bill traded his ass.
Fair enough. I hear you.
You keep saying that, Mez, and you are right. But remember, at the end of the Super Bowl, Bill, you know, sidles up to him and says, "You're a hell of a player." And he's basically saying, I forget what the exact sound is, but he says, "You're a hell of a player." And he's saying, "Coach, we found our identity." Like, Bill recognized at the end of that game, like, holy crap, we're not winning this thing without this guy. You know, he might be a pain in the butt, but there's no way we're winning this without him. So, you know, I think the idea there, they're just because he wanted to trade him, it's like he's completely done with him and he had no use for him even though they won the Super Bowl. I'm not sure that's 100% true.
Yeah.
I also think they were getting information from Rosenhaus, who's very close with Bill, that, you know, this guy's going to play. So that might have been part of it too. Maybe they weren't doing the full court press on Gronk because they're like, well, we think he's going to play, so we're just going to plan like he's going to play. And then all of a sudden it's, I mean, even Rosenhaus said he thought he was going to play.
It's true.
Yeah. He got caught up in the emotion of the moment after the Super Bowl. What's he going to do? Kick him in the nuts after they win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, so Bill, right, so Bill has a history of that too. I mean, you get caught up in that moment and it's like, love you, man. And but then, you know, the dust settles and it's back now to contracts and the offseason and all this thing and everyone goes back to their corner. So I think that's both true. Here's Justin and Bill Ricca with, I think, an NHL thought. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, guys. What's going on? I was just watching the Columbus and the Montreal game the other night.
Oh,
I was thinking of which team. It was an awesome. I mean, I loved to watch Montreal lose. But I was wondering your guys' thoughts on which team would finish in the last wild card spot that
Columbus?
Could have a chance upset in Tampa.
So Columbus?
You still Columbus?
Yeah, it's probably going to be it's Columbus or Montreal. And Columbus has the leg up right now. So it's probably Columbus going against Tampa. Does Columbus have a chance? I don't give them much of one. Tampa's really, really, really good. But hockey, you know, hockey stuff happens. What I thought you were going to go with is something we hit on earlier this week. Cam Neely, before one of the games this week, was kind of bitching. I mean, it's a little strong, but was talking about the NHL's playoff format
okay.
and how it's unfair for the Bruins,
yeah.
who have had to face now Toronto and Tampa in the first two rounds each of the last couple of years, and those are all top 10 teams. And if they had seeded it the way they used to in the East,
yeah.
1-8, that the Bruins would be playing a 7 seed in the first round as opposed to what amounts to like a 3 seed or
Isn't
something.
Isn't like Pittsburgh like a 7 seed?
So, but I'm not sure who the 7 is right now. I think it's actually Carolina. So that it's a little unfair having to face Tampa so early because they're in your division, to which I say, stop crying. I hate that. It's like, that's defeatist. You go beat them. And don't, it's like, it's like laying the groundwork for defeat, you know, and the system is a system. If it was the 1-8, like you wanted, Cam, you're facing Tampa in the third round versus the second. What's it if you have to beat them anyway? So go beat them. And focus on beating him and not the seedings. And I'm not, it's not like he was ranting about it or he was asked about it. And so that was his, he said, I'd rather play 2-7. Yeah. And who blames him? But, you know, don't articulate that. You go beat those guys. He also said just quickly that what the NHL intended has not happened. They wanted to go back to the in-division playoffs because
yeah.
they wanted the rivalries and the hatred to build yep. into next year. And that really hasn't happened. It's a different league.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like it when they made the switch to the playoff format. I preferred the old playoff format. But, you know, you can't really complain. Everybody knows what the format is ahead of time. The Bruins are in a very competitive division. They're aware of that. I mean, I think if you're a young team like Toronto, isn't it kind of frustrating you have to face the Bruins without home ice? And Bruins have the second most points in the NHL?
Correct, number two.
Yeah, I mean, so you're Toronto, you've had a great year, that's who you have to face?
Yeah, they got a worse shake of it than you did.
I think they do.
No question.
To be honest, especially with that exciting young team. In fact, you'd think, I will say this, if this were the NBA, Batman would change that real fast so you could bump up Toronto. It's like, okay, we got Austin Matthews and Tavares on this team. This is a young, exciting team we want to feature. We need to have them have success. We got to change this playoff format ASAP.
I mean, when you say it that way, the Bruins have the second best record in the league. Like, and what were they last year? Same thing.
It was like third or fourth.
I mean, whatever Bruce Cassidy is eating, I want some.
He's a heck of a coach, man. I have to say, I was wrong. I was wrong. He's better than Claude.
There we go. Wow. There it is. 2 years later, we'll still take
there you
it.
Go.
You sticking around for one more, Gasper?
Oh, yeah, I owe you one.
Okay.
You damn straight you are. Sit your ass down.
Another segment with Gasper after Murray's update, no commercial.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.